I think the problem is people are not recognizing our lifestyle as stress anymore. So they look for the big things. You know, they look for a death or a car accident, or they look for big things to cause stress. And they're not seeing that all of these underlying things are keeping us in a stress response consistently.
Welcome to Bowenfest 23 podcast series. Join Vanessa King in conversation with Samantha Ashley. Stress, adrenal fatigue, and burnout. Supporting your clients the Bowen way.
I'm very pleased to welcome Samantha Ashley to the Bowenfest 23 podcast series. Samantha is a dedicated professional who has a holistic view about health and well-being. With a background in massage, naturopathy, and nutrition, she found out that she was in her element when she incorporated bodywork into her treatment plans. After having suffered for many years with chronic pain and trying multiple different therapies with little or no success, she stumbled across the Bowen technique and it changed her life. After only three treatments, her pain was gone and her life was back on track. She was so excited about her results that she decided to undergo training to become a qualified BOTEC Bowen therapist. She founded Green Valley Bowen Therapy in the Gold Coast in 2014 and runs a very successful clinic in Miami on the Central Gold Coast. Green Valley Bowen Therapy has been going from strength to strength, easing the pain and suffering of many clients and bringing wellness, relaxation and vitality back to their lives. Welcome, Sam.
Thanks, Vanessa. Thanks for having me.
Sam, your topic today is, has our modern lifestyle hijacked our health and wellness? After hearing your bio, were you finding your life being hijacked and Bowen, among other things, had come to the rescue for you?
Most definitely. I'm a serial overworker, so I always have about 30 balls in the air, and especially I've always studied. It's just something that I actually gain a lot of pleasure out of. And I just found at one stage in my life I was studying too much, working too much. I had three jobs on the go, had a young family, husband, you know, all the things that you have, and realized that lifestyle was making me tired. I thought that the tiredness was just because I was doing too much, and it turned out to be an insidious little bit of bacteria in my lungs that was chipping away and ended up causing me bacterial pneumonia, and I had nearly died. So big wake-up call that was.
Gosh, that's incredible. Thanks for sharing that. It's really nice to hear, you know, personal experiences when people share them, and, you know, within our Bowen community, that's really, really amazing. So what is it about our modern lifestyles that have set our bodies and systems up for failure, do you think?
Well, I think it is the fact that we do too much, and we're expected to do too much, and we've raised the bar on our expectations. We're not back in the 50s where people had their weekends. They worked a 9-to-5. Oftentimes the women stayed home and looked after the children. Sunday was sacred, whether you went to church or not. Sunday was the day for the family. You know, that's what you did. These days, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We're always switched on. Our phones are always on. The emails are always there. We've got Snapchat and Instagram and Facebook and phone calls and texts and kids. And we've got, especially as women, I think, because we've pushed for equality, which is a fantastic thing, we should be equal, definitely. However, I think we haven't quite hit that balance because we're still the homemakers and the nurturers and the people taking on all of those emotional responsibilities, but then we're also running our own businesses or working full-time jobs. We're trying to juggle all the balls, and something has to give. And unfortunately, our health is what gives.
Absolutely. Things, you know, I often wonder, you know, back in Tom Bowen's day, how much things have changed to the present time. And, you know, whether this has impacted the type of sort of people that he would see coming through his door as to what we see coming through our door now. And, you know, you've talked about that chronic level of commitment that people have these days. It's incredible, isn't it?
Yeah, it certainly is. You know, I even look at it with people who bring their children into me. I'm seeing younger and younger children come in, and they're coming in because they're stressed. We shouldn't see stress in children. Children should be climbing trees and swinging on swings and throwing mud pies at each other and colouring in and riding their bikes and all of those sorts of things. And they're bringing their kids in and the kids are having stress responses because they've got too many responsibilities. And as parents, especially a lot of the younger parents, I see that they're pushing their children. And it comes from a good place, but it's just a very unhealthy lifestyle. The kids get up. They have to get up early because mum has to get them ready because mum and dad are going to work and they get dropped at daycare and or before and after school care. And then they go into the school system and then they come out of that. And then they're back into that daycare situation. And then, you know, from there they're going off to, you know, piano or surfing lessons or dance or football or whatever it is that they're doing. And, you know, one person's running this kid to this sporting event and the other one's going somewhere else. And then they get home and they've still got homework and there's still dinner and then there's this bedtime routine and it just goes and goes and goes. And then the weekends, because everyone's so stressed from the week, is then packed in with, oh, well, we've got to do this and we've got to do that. We've got to meet this person. We've got to go here and we've got to have this party and that party and the other party. And they're just constantly on the go. There's no downtime for them. And then when they do have downtime, what are they doing? Sitting on their devices. It's just unhealthy.
But is it so different? Things have changed so much, haven't they?
Certainly have. I'm glad I had my kids when I was much younger. And it was
It's interesting. I've enjoyed talking to you because, you know, we're both naturopaths, so we sort of see a similar, you know, aspect of health and well-being, I guess, and when our, you know, people come in. And you're so right, when people bring their children in, I mean, the children are so stressed, aren't they? You know, they're just, you know, tummy upsets and, you know, not sleeping and angry. Do you find that yourself, Sam, that children are angry at the moment?
Children are very angry, yes. Yeah. And they can't seem to find, they can't seem to find their place. I think they're very confused. I think that confusion at that young age, while their brains are still developing and they're still trying to discover who they are, yeah, is causing them to act out because they don't know what to do with themselves. And they've got all of these stress. I mean, stress hormones are not for, you know, 40-year-olds that are in an executive position. Stress hormones happen from day dot. And they have all of those same things running through their bodies that we do, the adrenaline, the cortisol, all of that sort of stuff. They have all of those endocrine system responses. We're seeing, and you might also see this in your practice, a lot of young girls that are having hormonal disturbances or they're menstruating early, you know, all of those sorts of things. Because, as you know, stress, especially long-term chronic stress, affects the endocrine system. The endocrine system and all of those hormones with all of those, you know, your cortisol and your adrenaline and everything, it's just a mix for disaster when it comes to you, to your health, for your whole body system.
That's right. And that sort of leads me on to the next question about body systems, which is, a you know, something that we sort of connect with quite a bit ourselves here. So can you touch on which body systems are most impacted and what are the longer term effects of this?
All right. So in my practice, what I see mostly is the endocrine system, hormonal stuff. And then, of course, you've got, you know, your adrenal glands are overworked as well. So we have all of these hormones being pumped out consistently. And then on top of that, we've always got environmental factors as well, which are affecting our hormones. And it affects boys as much as it does girls. We often focus on hormones and think it's a female problem, but boys have hormones too. They have an endocrine system too. So then that also then brings us into our nervous system. You know, we've got our sympathetic, our parasympathetic nervous systems. When you're under constant stress, and I think the problem is people are not recognizing our lifestyle as stress anymore. So they look for the big things. You know, they look for a death or a car accident, or they look for big things to cause stress, and they're not seeing that all of these underlying things are keeping us in a stress response consistently. So that's when our nervous system takes over and we're on that heightened fight or flight consistently. We don't rest. We can't repair if we don't rest. So we need to bring that nervous system out of that fight or flight response and get it into that rest and repair mode, which is where I find Bowen to be absolutely brilliant, because we have the opportunity within our modality to give people longer to be able to integrate what we're doing. We can do very little, but the body can have a massive reaction to that because we're giving it permission and we're giving it time to rest and repair.
Absolutely. Do you have a cohort that are presenting at your clinic with these systems being impacted at the moment?
It's hard because it's pretty much across the board, but I would say most likely you sort of early 30s to maybe mid 50s to 60-year-old women are generally the group that I'm seeing the most. They're the ones that tend to be juggling everything else. I think that men and women are very different, and I think that men have a very good ability of being able to switch off stuff that doesn't serve them, which is a fantastic way to cope, unless they're in a, say, a high executive position or they're running a business or something. So, you know, there's a lot of other stress that they have that filters down. I think that when they go home, they can switch off. Not in all cases, but with women, as I was saying earlier on, we tend to go home. We tend to be the ones that are making sure the kids are, you know, dressed and fed and hubby's okay, and we're checking in on him to make sure that he's okay. And as nurturers, we generally put ourselves on the back burner and say, all right, well, you sit down, sweetheart, you know, put your feet up, have a rest. I can look after the kids. I can do this. I can do that. Because that's what we do. We're caregivers by nature. So I think that most likely that's probably the larger proportion of the people that I see that come in for these types of things. And it's so you've got stress, but long-term stress then turns into either burnout or chronic fatigue, or adrenal fatigue, one or the other. And people tend to push their stress aside until you get to that burnout or you get to that adrenal fatigue, where you just can't function anymore. And that's when I tend to see them, when they're there, when they're at their lowest.
When they're at their lowest. It's really interesting you say that. It makes me wonder about, do you see or sense that there's a language that your clients sort of use to describe how they feel when it comes to, you know, perhaps a link to adrenal fatigue?
Yeah. So, you know, you'll hear words along the lines of, I feel like I can't get out of bed anymore. I'm so tired. I go to sleep, but then I can't stay asleep. Or I feel like I've slept all night, but I wake up more exhausted than I was when I went to bed. I don't feel like I'm coping anymore. Little things that never used to bother me are now really getting on my nerves. I feel nervous, edgy. They can present with not so much depression, but depressive symptoms, a low mood. And if they go to the doctors for that, the first point of call for that is, oh, here, take this drug. That'll work. Let's not fix the cause of your problem. Let's give you a Band-Aid for it. And then the drug inevitably causes more health concerns, as you would most likely see as well, Vanessa.
It's great. That sort of answers my next question. So we might jump ahead to the one after that. What are the ways to identify key factors and indicators of these conditions?
Look, I think as Bowen therapists, we establish relationships with our clients first and foremost. If you have somebody comes in, you know, like a cold call, first appointment, you're going to notice I don't generally give intake forms to my clients to fill in. I will sit down with them and fill in the intake form with them because I can extract a lot more information out of somebody than if they're just sitting there filling out a form in black and white. They tend to miss things. They tend to they want to quickly fill the form in, so they forget a lot of stuff. I think when you open dialogue with somebody, you'll pick up on those answers that will indicate there's something else going on. Why are you here today? Oh, I've got, you know, chronic headaches, sore neck, tension in my shoulders. So that would lead you to the next question. Okay, so, you know, do you have a stressful job? Why do you think that you're holding on to all this tension? When did the migraine start? When did the headache start? Do you notice a pattern? So through the correct line of questioning, you can actually extract a lot of information out of somebody to identify a stressful lifestyle. Once you've identified that there is stress there that may be more heightened than just our everyday, then you can, you know, you can start asking other questions like, how long have you felt this way? This will give you an indication as to whether or not this is a short-term thing or whether or not this is something that's been there for 20 years. And that will then give you an indication as to how you want to proceed with that client. I find that when I have people that come in that have a lot of long-term stress, I will leave really, really long periods, wait periods in between moves. I'm not doing that standard, you know, 2 minutes. It'll be 5 minutes. Sometimes it'll be longer. It really depends on what I'm doing with that client and what I see with them when they're lying on the table. Look at their breathing. People shallow breathe. We shallow breathe all through the day. We're interacting with other people. We're talking a lot. We're constantly doing things. We're not focusing on our breathing. Shallow breathing is terrible for our nervous system because we're not bringing in enough oxygenated blood into our lungs, into our bloodstream. We're not calming any of our central organs through that oxygenated blood. We need to take deeper breaths. We need to slow down. And I think having longer rest periods on the table with our clients enables them to do that. And I will even prompt them on the table and say, all right, what I need you to do is start just to really focus on your breath. Focus on taking nice, long, deep breaths, breathing in through your nose, breathing out through your mouth. Sometimes I'll get them to count because often people will say, well, how long do I have to breathe? You know, we've lost the art of knowing how to actually take a deep breath, which is very sad, really, when you think about it.
It's amazing because, yeah, I think I totally agree with you when it comes to the, you know, to forms. I think, you know, I generally act the same and, you know, what brings you in today? How can I help you today? Which is, you know, different than filling in forms to say, yes, history of cardiovascular disease, dementia in the family, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have any protocols or anything that you use, Sam, for this type of client?
I generally stick to the basics. I think that as Bowen therapists, we actually underrate the power of those first two moves, those first two stoppers in BRM1. They are so powerful, and I think we get very excited when we first do our training, and the further into it we go, if we follow on from our Cert 4 into our diploma and then onto our specialised procedures, we're always looking for that new big thing that can do something amazing, and we forget about those first two moves. Those first two moves are fantastic because that's our invitation to the body. We're knocking on the door. We're saying, hey, gently, let us in. Can we help? What can we do to calm you down and make you feel secure? That's what those first two moves do. So obviously the stoppers are going to go in there from BRM1. 9 times out of 10, I'm still sticking to my Cert 4 stuff. So kidney procedure is great. We've got our adrenals that sit on top of our kidneys. So kidney procedure is a fantastic one to use. Respiratory procedure also really, really good for that sort of stuff. You know, things like neck procedure, you know, BRM3 because we often hold our tension in our necks. BRM2, especially the upper back stuff, again, because, you know, shoulder tension. We've all heard the term Atlas shoulders, or you carry the weight of the world on your shoulders. Anything around shoulders, neck, upper back, that sort of stuff, fantastic. I often go for upper respiratory TMJ. We've got a lot of nerves that come out of our cranium and run through our TMJ. People who are stressed tend to either clench or tend to grind their teeth. You'll often find with questioning your clients, you'll say, do you grind your teeth or do you clench your teeth? Or, you know, and they'll say, oh, I don't know. So the don't knows are the ones that will tend to clench their jaws. The grinders generally know, even if they're doing it in their sleep, because they have issues and they're going to the dentist all the time because they keep chipping away at their teeth. I'll ask questions like, well, do you wake up in the morning and find that your jaw is tight, or you've got a bit of a headache, or you've got an earache in the morning? That will indicate then whether or not they actually clench in their sleep and don't even know if they're doing that. All of those cranial nerves, everything that runs through the TMJ, that all has a direct effect on your endocrine system. So if you can loosen that up, you know, that's a fantastic thing to be able to do for your clients. Head procedure is fantastic. And that last move of head procedure where you bring that neck into extension, I will often sit there for, you know, 10 minutes, just cradling that head and just letting that person breathe. And you can, you know, sometimes you'll see they get a bit agitated if you've got that A-type personality that's just, you know, quick. Are you done yet? Can I get up? Then I will kind of guide them through it. I'll say, all right, we're just going to let this integrate now. I just want you to focus on your breath. I just want you to take your time to breathe. You know, just try to empty your mind of anything. If thoughts are coming in, just try to empty your mind of all thoughts. Just focus on relaxing, focus on the breath. Sometimes I'll talk them through a few breaths until I see they're actually doing it on their own, and then I just let them sit there quietly. When you get into people having a lot of menstrual issues, COP6 is a really good one for that. But it's generally your early work that, you know, your ground level stuff, your foundation stuff that you learn, you know, rather than rushing and looking for something that's more advanced, you can move on to that later if you feel that you need to. But that early work is the stuff that's really powerful, I think.
Yeah, that's just great. And I think, yeah, I noticed myself that there's that real connection with fatigue when it comes to adrenal fatigue, doesn't it? Do you have a recommendation for the people that are listening about how many sessions to have if you think that someone's in a chronic level of fatigue?
Oh, that's like how long's a piece of string. I don't think there's any one size fits all for that. I think you really need to work with each individual client because all their stresses are different, how they react to their stresses are different, how old they are, what history they've had in their life. You can have somebody who's had stress from child all the way through to adulthood. Or you can have somebody that hasn't really had any stress until they've hit their 30s. So all of those things play into it. I generally push for weekly sessions for at least three weekly sessions. And then after that, I work with the client. How are you feeling? Have your stress levels dropped any? Are you sleeping better? You know, I ask all the questions based on their history and how they've presented over those past 3 weeks. And then I just work with them. You know, I might push it out to 2 weeks. I always give my clients permission to bring their appointments forward. I try to give them the opportunity to feel like they're more in control. So say after 3 sessions and they've been weekly, the client says they feel like they're responding and they're feeling better and they're feeling less stressed and they're looking forward to their appointments, I might say, well, all right then, let's see if we can go 2 weeks. You seem to be doing really, really well. Keep up the breathing. I send breathing homework home with people. Keep up the breathing, keep up the healthy eating, you know, any routines I put in place for them to try and, you know, mitigate the stresses that they have. We'll go 2 weeks. If you feel that you can't make your 2 weeks, give me a call. We can always bring it forward. But I think that you're ready to go a little bit longer. Sometimes just giving somebody permission and telling them that you have confidence in the fact that they are calm and they are in a better place. Sometimes that's all somebody needs. It's just somebody saying, I back you. You're good. So, yeah, but you have to work with your clients. There's no one size fits all.
That's really great. And I think that's the thing with perhaps, you know, adrenal fatigue or chronic fatigue is that a lot of things have been taken away from them, you know, choice, you know, structure, commitments here, there and everywhere. And I think that's an amazing point that you've made, actually, about asking people about the next appointment. And rather, you know, I don't know whether we do it, you know, without even thinking, I can see you on Monday at 3 o'clock. But what you've said to us today is to almost turn it around and ask them, you know, and that's a way of helping people as well, isn't it? Do you have anything to say about that, Sam?
I think that's, we need to empower our clients. Unfortunately, Bowen therapists are generally the last point of call for a lot of people. So when they get to you, they're pretty much in that desperation stage. I've tried, how many times have we heard, I have tried everything else, and then somebody in the office or somebody at the supermarket or whatever said, you should try Bowen. I don't know what it is, but if this doesn't work, I'm done. So they're at their lowest point. And we have the skills. Bowen therapy is an amazing modality. We all know that. So we're working there on that physical level that goes deeper than just obviously the muscles and the tension and all of that sort of stuff. But they do, they feel disempowered by where they're at in their lives, especially if you're a doing person. If you're used to being able to juggle all of these balls and then suddenly you notice that that's been taken away from you, it's almost like a loss of identity. And I think that's a huge thing. You don't know what to do if you can't do. We're a society of do, 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 do. Even if you ask somebody, oh, for recreation, how do you unwind? Oh, I train for a marathon. Well, I run. Okay, so what's the goal with the running? Oh, the goal is I have to get this many steps. Or we're always about doing, doing, doing. We need to take the doing away and we need to give permission to people to be able to be more introspective, to be able to look at themselves, to be able to feel what's going on within their own bodies and be able to feel like they have the power to make decisions for their own wellness, because it's been taken away by all of that stress that they've been under. So I think that's the biggest thing, is giving people back the power to be able to make those decisions.
So true. It's so very, very true. Do you find that after people have had some Bowen for a little while that they start to make better lifestyle choices, better nutritional choices, and even drinking less alcohol, this type of thing, Sam?
Oh, absolutely. It's quite funny. I've had quite a few clients over the years that I've said, all right, well, you know, let's push you out to about a month. I don't think you need to be coming in fortnightly anymore or weekly anymore or whatever. And they'll be like, oh, do I have to? I really like coming. It's the only time I get as my downtime. Or I'll have people that will come in and say, guess what? I'm not going to my massage therapist anymore because I actually feel better and more relaxed for longer after my Bowen. Or the amount of people that I've had come in, and it's especially apparent with you know, your tradies and that sort of stuff. They'll come in and they'll be like, oh, you're going to be proud of me. I actually lifted something correctly today. Or you've ruined me, because now when I'm having beers with the boys, I chase it with a glass of water and they tell me, you know, that I'm soft, or or I've been drinking 2 liters of water and, you know, I didn't even think I'd get to that goal because I hadn't drank a glass of water before I came to see you for 20 years. Or, you know, so there are these things, and I find that people become more mindful of themselves. I'm a big one for giving information. I have a trillion charts all over my walls in clinic. It's not for the aesthetic of it. It's so that when I'm explaining to people what's going on with their bodies, I can take them from chart to chart to chart. Here are your muscles. These are the muscles that are hurting. See, they're connected to this, this, and this. Now, if we go over to this chart, this is what's doing with your central nervous system. Now, if we go to this chart, this is what's doing with your, you know, your organs and your meridians, and this is how it all works together. So you can actually see that that sore toe is actually connected to your bottom lip, or, you know, whatever. And I find that people really like the information. They'll come in quite often lost. You know, the doctor's put them on all this medication. They've seen a bunch of different specialists. They've been to a bunch of different people. And the first thing I say to them, has anybody explained to you what's actually going on with your body? And they'll say no. And I'll say, right, well, here's some education for you. And I'll explain it to them. It can be in very simple terms. I mean, we don't have to sit down and start getting out the thesaurus and explaining what this word means and, you know, pulling out the Latin. But just a basic knowledge of what people have going on with their body is, again, another way of empowering them to pay more attention to their health. So I think education, as a therapist, education is very important.
Absolutely. Sam, this has been a really great conversation today, and I've appreciated, you know, everything that you've shared. Thank you very much for all of that. Is there one message you would have for Bowen therapists listening to our conversation today?
Take the time to get to know your clients. Your clients are part of your community. Your clients are your extended family. You know, they might be strangers on the street, but when they come into your clinic, they're giving you permission to take their health into your hands. And that's a huge responsibility, but it's also like, it's an absolute blessing for somebody to look at you and say, I trust you enough to look after my health, not only now, but my future health. And generally that will flow on into, you know, their family's health as well. You know, they come in, then they bring their husband, then they bring their kids, then their kids grow up, and then they bring their kids and they bring their partners. And yeah, I think connection's the big takeout. Connect with your people as Bowen therapists. Don't separate yourself.
Wonderful. Thank you so very much. It's been wonderful.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
We hope you enjoyed the conversation, but it doesn't end there. In the show notes below, you'll find a link where you can submit your own question, something that has piqued your interest from the conversation, to ask the presenter. This will happen on Thursday, the 19th of October, during Bowen Fest 23 Live, where all our presenters will be part of a Q&A panel. Put your question forward and have it answered on the night so that we can extend the conversation further, learn more, and connect more deeply. You've been listening to Bowen Fest 23 podcast series, proudly presented by Bowen Therapy New Zealand and the Bowen Association of Australia.